thank the Lord for that sweet prayer. I ask each of you to continue to pray for me as I stand before you this morning. I've had thoughts that seem to be all over the Bible last night and again this morning. And hope we can focus our thoughts on a particular place that would be pleasing to the Lord and a benefit to you. And as I've often said, those two things always go hand in hand. What's good in the sight of the Lord will be good for us this morning. And I just pray the Lord will guide us and direct us all together to have those thoughts that honor and glorify the Lord. And just pray for me that the Lord would supply what we need in a preaching way, because without the Lord, we cannot preach the gospel. We can make speeches. We can say a lot of words, enticing words of men's wisdom. But it will be of no benefit to God's little children unless the Lord takes what's said and applies it to your heart. The Lord gives us, the preaching of the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, we tell about the works of Almighty God and how it is we're righteous before God and how He is altogether righteous, and because of His righteousness, how we're made accepted with the Lord and in the sight of God. And that's revealed from faith. That is what He gives to the minister, to faith, what He gives to those that hear it. And the faith also of God's word is shared, which is that faith once delivered to the saints. So pray that I'll be faithful to the word and the Lord would bless us. You said, well, Brother Gary, you said that last time we met. Well, I hope I'll say it next time and every other time, so that your mind and thought are always constantly on the idea that without the Lord, we met in vain. Without the Lord, there is no preaching. So that when we do have preaching, we don't give honor and glory to man, but give honor and glory to God. I don't believe the words, if they were good words, and I do believe they were, that Brother Charles spoke, I believe they came from the Lord, that they were given to him by the Lord. And I believe every good thing comes down from above. If you have any good thoughts this morning, they're not motivated or they don't come out of you. They came by the grace of God to you. And that's something that we hold to as Old Baptists, that we want to consider and always hold to, is that every good thing that we have came to us by the grace of God. Even the initial ideas and thoughts we had towards God would not have been there had God not first worked in our lives. We work because He first worked in us. We love Him because He first loved us. We believe in Him because He first gave us faith, enabling us to believe. And if it had been left up to us, all we would have had is what we had by nature. We'd have simply been the children of wrath, even as others. And we would have died in our sins and been eternally judged based according to those works and cast away from Him eternally. If it had not been for His intervention, if it had not been for His love towards us and what He first did towards us. And in turn, everything after that in our lives, any good thing, is there because of the Lord and what He's done for us. So we don't pat ourselves on the back today because we're sitting in the church pew. Although I'm glad that you're here, and I'm thankful that duty was in your mind and in your heart. I hope it's more than just duty. I hope it's a desire to worship God that you're here. But if you have that, it's not in order to get something from the Lord. It's because the Lord has already given you so much. And now in gratitude, we meet to show Him how much that we love Him and honor Him and praise Him because of His goodness to us. The Bible teaches that the more we see ourselves as sinners, the more we'll see His great love in forgiving us, and the more we'll love Him in return. And we'll be doing what the Lord would have us to do when we recognize how unworthy we are in ourselves, and yet how we've been made accepted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's kind of a thought that seems contradictory in some ways when you say, in one sense, you're rotten and no good, and there's nothing good about you. And in another sense, you're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a purchased people. In other words, you're very, very special in that you're among the elect of God. But your election was not based, according to Romans 9, your election was not based on anything that you did. It's based on His choice. And His choice is what's made a difference in our lives. And therefore, in my life right now, if there'd be any good thing, there'd be anything that I could glory in, let it be in the Lord. Let it be to the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord. Let us be thankful to Him for every single good thing that He's given us. With those thoughts, let's read together a psalm that I mentioned to you last week. And don't know whether you read it or not, but I've kind of been in it all week and didn't know that I'd stay there. But Psalm 62, if you have your Bibles, let's turn there. Psalm 62 is a psalm of David. And I believe it was a psalm that David wrote while he was under great persecution here in this world. While David was under attack by King Saul, by those members of his own family, Absalom, others. David had much tribulation and trial in this world. Some of it he brought on himself by his disobedience and by walking outside of the commandments of God. Some of it came upon him because he was a righteous man in the sense God had worked in him, and he was hated by the world. And he addresses so many things. He makes a confession of faith here. He makes his profession in this psalm. And also in this psalm, as you read through it, you'll see that David makes his profession. And then he speaks to himself about what the profession that he's made. And then he starts telling others about what the Lord had done for him and how, because the Lord had done this for him, it wasn't him alone, but for all of us as his children. So there's much to be learned here if the Lord will bless us. Psalm 62. It says, to the chief musician, to Judithan, a psalm of David. It said, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto the Lord, unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Can you see David's profession of faith right here in the very first parts of this psalm? Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. So David is saying, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm leaning upon the Lord. David is believing in his heart, and he's confessing with his mouth that his salvation is in the Lord. And he says, truly, that word, really, if you look in the margin, will also give you the word only. In other words, I'm looking to the Lord, I'm trusting in Him, and it's only Him that I'm trusting. And there's a blessed man who trusts trust only in the Lord. Now the world will tell you that if you'll do this, then you'll get to be one of his children. You'll be born again. You'll be made alive. That is the way and the method, that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what the Bible does teach us in Romans chapter 10. It also tells us with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we see David here believing with his heart, and we see him confessing with his mouth. Some would say, well, that's how David got life, by trusting in the Lord. But the reality that's taught to us in the scripture is that David didn't believe in order to get life. David believed because he'd already first been given life. David didn't make a confession or a profession of faith or profess with his mouth the truth to make it the truth. It was already the truth. David's salvation was secure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ before he ever professed that, before he ever said that. As a matter of fact, if he'd have said it and it wasn't already true, he really wouldn't have been speaking the truth. Because if he had not first been saved, and that God was his salvation, when he said, God is my salvation, or as he says here, from him cometh my salvation, if it wasn't already the truth, his profession would not have been the truth at the time. In other words, if it was just only after you said it that it became true, it wouldn't be true when you said it. You see that? If it was us initiating this, then when we get home to glory, we would say, well, the Lord did all he could do, but really I'm here because I agreed to what he did and I accepted what he did, and yes, God gets all the glory, but there's going to be a little place here because I'm here because of what I've done, and others aren't here because they didn't do what I did. Now, Jesus, the world would teach you, and the men of the world would say, Jesus did it for everybody, and that's up to you to confess it and profess it and believe it without understanding and recognizing until God first works in you. You don't have a heart that's capable of believing, and you don't have a mouth that's capable of professing. It takes God to prepare the mouth and the heart, doesn't it? God has to work first. And the work has already been done in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation that we confess, that we're trusting in, was done 2,000 years ago now on the cross of Calvary. In the mind and purpose of God, it was finished before the foundation of the world, in the sense that God cannot fail, and he predestinated his people to be conformed to the image of his Son, and he loved them, and he effectually calls them in the new birth. And that calling is when you and I get a change of heart and a change of mouth. And until the change happens in our heart and our mouth, our heart will not believe, our mouth will not confess. And until that happens, we have no ability or capability, no matter who preaches or who clearly presents anything for us to do. As a matter of fact, the work was finished by the Lord. And David is simply saying, my salvation's in him. I hope that's what you're saying this morning. I hope we're not saying, me and Jesus, we got this thing done. In other words, Jesus did his part, and I've done my part, and now I can die in full assurance that I'm going to be with the Lord because I did everything that he required of me to do, and he had already done all he could do. That doesn't even sound right, does it? What did he say here? Once it was said, and twice he's heard it, which means really God said it one time. It isn't only one time God said it. God spake many times throughout the scripture. What it's saying here is that all God has to say it is once. In other words, what God says once will stand forever. Y'all believe that? What God says one time will last forever. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to pull back his words. He's not going to be like us. One day we'll say this, another day we'll say another thing. Even David here, you'll see him saying it so boldly and so strongly, and then it's just a couple verses, he starts talking to himself again about it. You know why? because he's in the flesh and he needs to hear it again. He needs to know again that my salvation is not in me. It's not in what I've done. It's not in what I'm doing. It's in him. I hope that gives you some consolation this morning, because if it was in you and if it was in me, I'm telling you, it would be in a weak, feeble creature. It would be whether we consider ourselves of a low degree, as he says, the men of low degree or men of high degree. And you know, that's really a kind of a relative term in the minds of men. You know, when have we arrived in this world in the minds of men? When do we become low degree or high degree? James tells us over in the chapter 1 of the book of James about men of low degree. And he says, and then he talks about rich men and how that whether you are a low degree, that if you're of a low degree, be thankful that you've been exalted. And if you be of a rich man, be thankful that you get brought down. What he's really saying here is that low degree and high degree doesn't have anything to do with the sight of God. Because when God looked down upon mankind, he didn't see men of low degree and men of high degree. He saw all of us. And what he saw was not a pretty picture. We all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is none of us, no, not one, that was righteous before God. None was seeking after God. We'd all had gone astray. We all, like sheep, had gone astray. And there would be none that would be able to say, okay, God, I am okay because I'm born in this family. I'm okay because my bank account, that I'm numbered in the list of the 400 of richest men on the earth, or any of that. What he's saying to us here, that really men of low degree are not to be trusted in, and men of high degree are not to be trusted in, that we're to trust in who? In the Lord. And if riches increase, don't set your affections on them. In other words, it's a good thing to be blessed of the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. The only thing that's wrong is when we start trusting in those uncertain riches. Or when we start looking to them as, I'm okay now. Or we start thinking that we've got them, that must mean I'm just deserving of this. I'm meriting it. Let us remember that everything the Lord has given us. And hadn't the Lord been good to us? How wonderful he's been. But let us remember this. It's all come because of Jesus Christ and what he did for us at Calvary. And all the glory and all the honor and all the praise belongs to the Lord. And I need him. And I'm going to need him more as the day approaches. And what day are we talking about there over in the book of Hebrews? As the day approaches. What day are we talking about? Well, there's a day we're going to leave this world. A man was born to die. I mean, we're going to leave this world. Either we're going to leave it in death, or we're going to leave it when the Lord comes again. And we're closer to that day than we've ever been. And no matter whether you're young or old, it does, let me tell the young today, it passes very quickly. Time passes quickly. If you think the last 10 years, I don't care where you are on the spectrum, if you think the last 10 years were fast, the next 10 years are going to be faster. I'm old enough to tell you that. I could tell you that from the scripture, because your life is but a vapor and it soon vanishes. It's here for a while and soon vanishes away. But I also can tell you that from experience now, the last 10 years have blown by. And what I know about that is that the next 10 years will be even quicker. Even quicker. The good news is we have an expectation. We have one to look to. We have one who is not uncertain but certain. We have one who's done so much for us. We have one that we don't need to be afraid wherever we are in life, wherever, whatever we're facing, whatever thing that is before us. We have a Lord who's proven to us over and over again that he will supply what we need. And he loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to die for us and secure our home in heaven. And the scripture says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That means whatever we stand in need of. Isn't that good news today that we've got that kind of God? David says it. He says, truly, only, my soul. What soul, David? That regenerated soul. of that life that's been put in you, that which God has given you. Brethren, let's live and walk in the Spirit, and we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's remember the spiritual things that He's taught us in our heart. When God born you again of His Spirit, He wrote His laws in your heart and upon your mind. And you no longer need anyone to teach you to know the Lord, for they all shall know Him from the least to the greatest. And He's given you that in your heart. That's why when you hear the Word of God preach, it lands in a place in your heart that many times you may have never heard this before, but already knew this was all right because God has written that upon your heart. Now we want to be sure here that we use the Word of God to guide us, because the old devil will come and try to fool us and say, this is what God has said, this is what God has taught, and the world will tell you all kinds of things contrary to the will and the way of God. And you and I are not at home in this world. We are in a land of warfare and battle. This world is not your friend to help you along. And you will be bombarded with all kinds of information that sounds good to the flesh, but it will hurt you to the core spiritually. And how do we discern what's right and what's wrong? By the Spirit of God within you and by the Word of God. You take the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. You take the Word of God and you go forward in the battle, and it is a lamp unto your feet. It is a light unto your path. It'll keep you, and as we trust in the Lord and lean upon His Word and trust His Word and accept what He says as He said it once, and if God said it once, it's going to last forever. It's as good as one time said is enough. Now He says it over and over. We hear it twice and many other times. It's being preached today. The Lord is blessing us to hear it today. So He's speaking to us today in the preaching of the gospel. He's speaking to us in the words of the Scripture. What is His Word is that what I've said will stand. You build your house upon it. You build your life upon it. He only is the rock. And David says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He is my salvation, and He comes each day. What salvation? Our eternal salvation? Your day-to-day salvation. How are you going to get through today? You know, heaven awaits us. It's an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Who? For His elect. How many of them? Every one of them. How many of them will get there? Every one of them. Will any be left out? Not one. All that the Father gave of Him, He had the power to save them. He has power sufficient to save every one of His children. But how am I going to get through next week? Heaven awaits, but what about today? What about when the storm is coming in your life? Then what do I cry? What do I say? I have a place of refuge. Isn't it good to have a place of refuge in this old world? When the world rises up against you, when the counsel of the world is contrary to the things of God, when you hear it from every side and you get bombarded by it, when it starts coming out of your flesh and the weakness of your flesh, when it starts coming from family members, when it starts coming from those on the job or those that you meet in the marketplace, when it starts coming on every side, all they will speak of, the world does not love Him, the world does not embrace Him, and because they don't love Him, they don't love you. And you'd say, well, why? David was saying, why are you imagining mischief against me? Why am I getting this? You ever feel like, why is it being hit? Why am I being hit with this? Well, I'll tell you what. When we think about what our Lord endured and the suffering He endured, you know, He never walked one single day contrary or one single step contrary to the will and the way of His Heavenly Father. He never did one thing to anyone in a way of hurting them or being detrimental to them. He always did that which was good and right. He was a perfect Savior, a perfect God, just and holy and right is He. And yet look what He suffered in this world. Look how men hated Him and despised Him. Look how they spoke against Him. They said He was the friend of publicans and sinners. You know why? Because He would go where they needed. Go where they were and give them what they needed. Because His little children were there. He wasn't going there to have fellowship with them, but they made all kinds of mockery and false accusations against him. If they will do that against him, do you suppose they're not going to do that against the Lord's church? Do you suppose they're not going to do that against the Lord's people? Do you suppose if we, we may be able to sit back quietly and kind of get by from the world, but if we shine like we're supposed to in this world, if we stand for what's right like we're supposed to in this world, if we stand for that in our families and in our lives, the world is going to be opposed against us because they hate the truth because they hated him. And he told that to his disciples. Over in John chapter 15, give you a scriptural reference for this. He's telling his disciples it's not going to be easy for you in this world, and it wasn't. But listen, the disciples, we think, well, it would have been wonderful to walk with Jesus. And it would have been. Would have been wonderful to hear him preach and to hear him teach. It would have been wonderful to see everything that they saw and live what they lived. But I'm telling you, they suffered great persecution for the cause. They lost their lives for the cause. They stood in the face of adversaries and those that would take their very life. And they would not do anything but profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they could have been delivered timely by simply going back on what they were making, that confession like David was making about the Lord. And that's true. And they would have gotten through a little better in this world. But oh my, how it would have grieved them. You know, what a blessing to be numbered among the Lord's people and to suffer persecution for his name's sake. We haven't faced that very much, but the time may soon come that we do. We don't know when that's going to come. We don't know when someone's going to say, you can't meet over there at that little old Baptist church anymore. Don't think that the old devil wouldn't want to shut the light off here. Don't think that he wouldn't want to come and tell us, you know, it's not really that important that you go, just a little handful over there. Just a little group gathering. I'm telling you, on the face of the earth, there's nothing more important going on today than what's happening at this church and other little old Baptist churches where God's children are meeting to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and proclaiming the name of Jesus. We just need to do it louder and more boldly. And with, I'm not talking about arrogantly. I'm talking about humbly. Take the name of Jesus with you and be willing to say what David said. He said, truly my soul waiteth upon God. Who was David trusting in? And I don't believe he was afraid of telling anyone about it. I'm trusting in the Lord. He's my help. He's my strength. Well, David, didn't you do a little bit of getting here? Didn't you handle Goliath? Isn't that part of the reason you're here? Didn't you do this? Didn't you do that? I'll tell you what David was. He was a little shepherd boy that the Lord called from serving the sheep, and he was the Lord's anointing. He was the Lord's choice. And the Lord brought him to the place that he was. And what would come out of David's mouth when he was on track was that God is my strength and my refuge and my salvation. That's what we ought to be saying today in our life. John chapter 15 says this. Verse 16 of John 15, he says, you have not chosen me. That's pretty plain, isn't it? But I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. In other words, I'm going to be with you. Now God said that once to them. Now, he said it over and over again. But get that verse, he said it once. And what does that mean? That means it's as good as if he, it's one time, it's true forever. And he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. That's very important. Brethren, if we don't operate in love, whatever we do, even if we're trying to help brethren, even if we're trying to instruct, we've got to keep love at the basis of it all. Because without love, it becomes sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It will not profit anything. If we're going to lead in our families, we've got to lead in love. If we're going to help our children, we've got to have to do it in love. We can't drive them. We've got to teach them. We've got to guide them. We've got to be like a shepherd dealing with a flock of sheep. The Lord's people, we got to operate in love. I find in my own life the most I mess up the most, best way to say it, when I get outside of love. Even when I'm correcting, even when I start operating out of something other than, and the old flesh has it to operate in. Don't think you don't have that. You have to keep it under subjection. Don't you have to operate in love. He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. And then he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you. In other words, don't be surprised when the world hates you. Why would the world hate us? Because it hated him. And he says, if ye were of the world would love his own. Now notice we've got a different world here than John 3:16, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But here's a world that says, you're God's children, you are the world of his elect. But there's a world that hates the world of the elect. There's another world, the world that hates the Lord and hates the children of God. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. He says, if you were of the world would love his own. In other words, if you were just a part of the world, we kind of fit in the world before the new birth, before God dealt with you. Kind of fit in the world. You know, this world isn't such a bad place. The only thing I'd like when I was in the world was to say I'd like to live longer. Like a pig in a pig pen. You know, just as happy as can be. Say, well, why would you want to be in that pig pen? Because I'm a pig. I want to be in the pig pen. It's what fills my appetite. I fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and I'm a child of wrath even as others. But when the Lord makes you a little sheep, you no longer belong in the pig pen, because there's a fold and a flock that he's called you out of this world to be separate from the world. Come out of the pig pen. And why? Because you are a sheep. Now God's little children, before the new birth and before regeneration, love the things of the world. They are seemingly, by their nature, a part of the world. But in regeneration, they're born of the Spirit. They've been sheep all along, but now they're regenerated, born again sheep. And because they are his people and they're born of the Spirit, they can live in the pig pen. There's a part of their nature that kind of fits there, but they don't look like sheep in the pig pen, do they? God's little sheep need to be separate from the world. I don't think my voice is going to be any better after this, but we are getting those mics, Sister Martha, so you got them ordered, so maybe they'll help when we try them. I won't have to be so loud. Then I might just have them on and make you just be louder for you. He says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, do you see that you as God's little children are not of the world? The reason you're not of the world is because God has chosen you out of the world. And now you are the world of his elect people, the world that he loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The world that he died for. The world that he was the propitiation for. The world that he was the wrath-ending atoning sacrifice for. The world that he died for. And he says, you were not of this world. The world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Do you see that? He's chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. He says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. That's a confession that ought to come out of our mouth. May the Lord bless us to confess that today. Whatever you're facing. Now, somebody said, well, that sounds like I'm boasting when I say that. Well, who are you boasting in? Who is your glory when you say that? What is he saying here? This is a confession that we need. This is being reconciled to God. He's already reconciled us to himself, but let's accept that which he's done for us. Yes, I am in my own self nothing and can't do anything, but in the Lord. The Bible says, in the Lord I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And here he says, he only is my rock. Do we have a rock today? Yes, he is my rock. Over in Deuteronomy, he tells us he is the rock. And our rock is not like their rock. Aren't you glad of that? The world says we've got a rock. I'm telling you, there are some people who think, I've got all this money, that's my rock. I'm telling you what, that won't amount to a hill of beans. Oh, it's a blessing in time. It's nothing wrong with having it. Is it if it doesn't have you? When it becomes your rock ain't much. Because that's deceitful riches. But the Lord is able to bless us with all that we need. Some he blesses more than others. Some he gives this amount because he knows they're able to handle this amount. And others, you know, in other words, why don't I have more? Because we probably couldn't handle any more. You know, in other words, the Lord gives us what we need, doesn't he? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He supplies to us what we need. And oh, how rich we are in him. He only is my rock and my salvation. I'm not trusting in anything else. He is my rock and my salvation. Notice the my. He is my defense, which means he's my high place. You need a high place? When you're in the storm and the water's coming up, look, we got a high place. We got a place we can go to. We got the Lord. He's my refuge. He's my strong tower. He's my all in all. He's the one who's wonderful. He's my counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the source of my peace. My peace isn't in my bank account. My peace isn't in everything going good on the job. My peace isn't in everything in my life being okay. My peace is in the surety of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does not change. God said it once and that settled it. And I want to hear it over and over again. That power belongs to the Lord and mercy also belongs to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to think about his power. But I'll tell you, it would be a frightful thing to think of a God of power who wasn't a God of mercy. And it would also be a sad thing to think of a God of mercy who wasn't a God of power. He was a God of power, but he's also a God of love and mercy. And it was because of his mercy, it was because of his love, he showed great mercy to us. And because he has love that has height and depth and breadth and width, it is beyond anything we can talk about. His mercy endured forever. And because of his mercy, we don't have to be afraid of his power. We can be confident in his power that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the God we serve. Y'all believe David believed in a little God that couldn't help you unless you helped him? Need to read Psalm 62. Because it surely tells us this God's a mighty God. He says this, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? He's looking at the enemies that are attacking him. He's looking at what they're doing. He said, how long y'all going to do this? He says, I'm telling you what, ye shall be slain all of you. In other words, there's no enemy that's going to be formed that can stand against God when I'm on and I'm walking the way that Lord would have me to walk. There's no power, there's no force, there's no army that could stand against him. We don't have to be afraid in this world where fear would be all we had if it was just up to us. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would we on our side? And I said, why is the Lord on our side? It isn't because we chose the right side, because he chose us. And his promise is, ye shall be slain, all of you. How much trouble would the Lord have taking all of the evil in this world and doing away with it? How much trouble? He said, it's like this. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. You see a fence about to fall over? How much force does it take to knock it down? You see a bowing wall, the wall just leaning over. You know, you see them leaning over, and you just say, don't lean on that. You know why you don't lean on it? Because it could come down. And I'm telling you, all those mighty men that stand up against God and scoff at him, and make mockery of him, I'm telling you, they're going to be like a bowing wall. And thanks be to God, we're not right there among them. Because if it were not for God dealing with our tongue and with our heart, don't get lifted up. This doesn't lift you up. This humbles you. If it hadn't been for God, I'd be right in the crowd. Be the loudest voice. Be right among them. Maybe it's just wouldn't be pretty, would it? But oh, how good God has been. And he says, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. In other words, what is the world saying to you? Why are they saying it? They don't want you trusting in the Lord. They don't want you leaning upon him. They don't want you there. They want you not to, and they know. Listen, they would have you doubt him. They would have you not say so much about him. Don't trust and lean upon him and him alone. He says they only consult. That's why they're speaking to you, to cast him down from his excellency. That is not only David, but the God that David trusted in. How successful is a man going to be from casting God down? How successful? Oh, it's you're talking about a task that they're going to lose. That's what the book of Revelation is about. We win. Don't be afraid to read it. Don't be afraid to look at it and study it. We win. Why do we win? Because he wins. He wins, and as a result, we win. Sometimes we say, I'm afraid of that book. It's got scary things in it. Listen, if you rightly understand it, the message overall in the book of Revelation is that the God of heaven is victorious in the end, and we're going home to glory, and every one of his children are going to go with him, and we don't have to be afraid of anything, because even when the ugliest enemies stand up against the Lord's people and the Lord's church, the Lord is going to speak them into destruction. And all he has to do is open his mouth. They're like a tottering wall and a bowing fence, or the other way around. They only consult to cast him down from his excellence. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. You see, the world will just come along. And the world will just come along and try to convince you that you're just wrong. That you've been wrong all this time. You need to change your way of thinking. I say to you, little children of God, I'm not going to keep going here, but he goes up. I say that and probably keep going for a second. He says that and he says, notice in the fifth verse, he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. In other words, he said this bold confession and now he starts talking to himself. And he says, listen, we need to tell ourselves this over and over. Do you need to preach this to yourself over and over? I'm trying my best to preach to you today, but I said to you, I'm going to need to say this to myself again this afternoon and tomorrow, and when the news comes and whatever I face, I need to say it over and over again. And David, here in the Word of God, tells us it's not only okay for us to do it, but it's what we ought to do. He says, look, my soul, I'm talking to me. Listen, self, my soul, my born again, regenerated soul. He says, wait thou only upon God. I just said that's what I'm doing. Now I'm telling myself to do it. It's important to make the profession over and over again. Let's hold fast our profession. Time will allow, we look at Hebrews 10. And Hebrews 10 tells us to hold fast our profession. You don't want to let go of it. You need to say it over and over again. You need to speak it from your mouth over and over again. You need to say it to yourself over and over again. And then he goes on, and notice he says the same thing. He says the same, verse 6 is very similar to verse 2. The only difference is one word says greatly moved, and this says moved. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be greatly moved. No matter the power, the force, no matter how big the storm or little the storm, I'm not going to be moved. And I say that to myself. And then I come back to the theme, and God is my salvation. And he's my glory. That means if I'm going to brag, it's going to be in the Lord. You see, sometimes we think, well, I'd be bragging when I say this. No, you're bragging on the Lord. You're trusting in the Lord. And then verse 8, he comes and tells the people, y'all do this. That's what I'm trying to do today. In other words, say it to myself. Profess it. Then I say it to myself, and now I come, trust in him at all. When do you trust in the Lord? All times. Ye people. What people? The people of God. Verse 8, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. I was talking to Brother Stan earlier this week. And as he laid out what was going on, I just told him, I said, Brother Stan, I'm just gonna pray really hard. I know it sounded silly, but that's all I knew to say. I didn't know what else to say. I said, I'm just gonna pray hard. He said, I got a question for you. I said, what's the question, Brother Stan? He said, How do you pray really hard? How do you pray really hard? And I thought of this verse. You see little sister Hannah? Can you see Sam? She's wanting a child, been barren. She's come to the house of God. And there she is over there. And Eli looks at her and thinks she's talking to herself, thinks she's drunk, thinks she's lost her mind. I'm telling you what she's doing. She's praying hard. That's what she's doing. And what she was doing is, I'm coming before the Lord, and I don't know what to say. I don't know the words to say, but I'm going to pour my heart out. Just like water out of a pitcher. Just, I want to pour my heart out. Let's do that for one another. Let's pour our heart out. He says, pour out your heart before Him. And then closing with this, he says, God is a refuge for us. Read Hebrews 4:16. If I do, we'll talk about it. It's all right. God is a refuge for us. A very present help in the trouble. You're in trouble. If you think you're not in trouble, you're really in trouble. If you know you're in trouble, be thankful you know it. We can pour out our hearts before the Lord. This little church, we need to pour out our hearts before the Lord. We need to beg Him to be with us. If you don't know what to say, just say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. If you lack belief, that faith, say, Lord, I believe, but help them unbelief. Say, I trust you, Lord. And then say to yourself, trust Him. And then tell other people, trust Him. May the Lord help us. Power belongs to the Lord and mercy belongs to the Lord. And if it wasn't for the Lord's power and the Lord's mercy, we would expect His wrath. But we expect His grace because of what He's done for us. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Six over.